We have a special bonus for you, our dear solo traveler, or soon-to-be solo traveler. The Astrid Travel Club has a fantastic slate of upcoming trips that might be just the thing you are looking for to go on an affordable luxury trip, complete with what we like to call the Astrid Flair. To learn everything we can on this bonus episode of Solo Travel Talk, we are going to hear from your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, plus the incomparable Madeline, so you can decide if membership in the Astrid Travel Club is right for you. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Let's go to Astrid and hear all about the Astrid Travel Club. Astrid, in a few minutes, we are going to hear from Madeline, but before we move to that interview, I was hoping you could share a little bit of your vision for the Astrid Travel Club, why you created this community.
Catherine, before I explain my vision for the Astrid Travel Club, I need to really share with our listeners the genesis of this idea and how it ended up evolving and coming to be. I have been an avid solo traveler for over 45 years. And, you know, I have taken lots of different types of solo trips. I've taken cruises. I've taken river cruises. I've done small groups. I've done big tours. I've done everything as a solo traveler. And one of the reasons why I ended up developing Astrid Solo Travel Advisor that gives you affordable luxury ideas, products, and services was I was trying to, or I am giving my readers and now my listeners with Solo Travel Talk, really ideas on how to have wonderful experiences as a solo traveler. And one of the most challenging decisions I always had to make is whether I wanted to actually end up joining a tour or a cruise, or whether I wanted it to do it alone, or maybe not even go, you know, because, you know, for so long, solo travel was, you know, not cool, basically, or very few people were doing it. But, you know, you had these big groups and these tours and et cetera. And so, you know, I would find myself thinking about, will I really have fun, you know, like this, or will I fit in? You know, I hated paying the single supplement. I just thought that was horrible, that, you know, I had to pay, you know, tariff and a half, or if the trip cost a couple, $2,500 a person, it would cost me $4,000 a person. And that always rubbed me the wrong way. And then, you know, I would look at the itineraries and I would think, you know, is this really going to give me the experience that I want? You know, I knew that my suitcases would be taken care of, my logistics would be taken care of. But in the final analysis, for the money that I would be spending and for the time that I had allotted that I could travel, you know, is this really what I wanted to do? Because I found, bottom line, is the major drawbacks of big group travel or cruises or river cruises, and I'm not saying anything against them, but I found these to be the major things that really made me want to seek something else, okay? And also ended up making me become such a comfortable solo traveler in the end, going pure solo. But the single supplement, again, that just always made me just, I really did not, I just didn't like that at all, okay? Right. I knew they had to do it, but I just did not want to feel like I was paying way too much for a travel experience. And then, you know, I did see some tours that said, well, if you would pair with somebody else and stay in the same room, then we could give you, you know, the couple discount. And I wasn't willing to do that. I mean, I like my own room. So that is a big drawback and was always a big drawback with me. Then also these tours, many of them, you go to all these different cities. And this means packing, unpacking, and I've done it. And I can tell you, when they say you have to have your suitcase in front of the door at 6 o'clock in the morning, we'll have breakfast at 8:30, we'll leave at 9 or 9:30, That means you have to pack your bag before, you know, at the end of the night or get up early. Then you definitely have to wake yourself up to put your bag out there at 6 because you can't put it back out at midnight when you're going to bed. So then you lay in the bed for about an hour, and then you end up getting dressed and going to breakfast. So you just, this 6 o'clock suitcase out in the front of your door to your room, just, I really didn't like it. But it was because of all the multiple stops, and you didn't really get to linger in any place for any length of time and really kind of, you know, understand a place. You just hit a few highlights and went to the next stop. That just didn't really totally appeal to me. I also found that the on the tours, a lot of the food experiences were kind of average. Mm. And what happens is, in the tourist industry, you know, it's a big network of different vendors and et cetera, and they all have their relationships. But, you know, they're like subcontractors for the most part. So if a particular subcontractor is doing a trip in Shanghai, you know, the tour operator, the main where you're buying your trip from, they take their cut out of it. They give the money to the subcontractor, and that person has to do everything, has to do the logistics with the buses, you know, everything. So they have to make their profit out of it too. So a lot of times the eating places that you go to are very average because that's where they can make a little bit more money for themselves. And you can't fault them for it. It's just the way it's created. So, you know, I love good food. Now, I don't have to eat a lot, but, you know, I don't want to have a very mediocre meal, especially if I'm on a trip. You know, I don't want to have a bad Italian meal, but it happens. Yeah. But this is something that turned me off. Also, you know, I found quite a few of the guides to be inferior, and I didn't like that. Talking about this Shanghai trip, one of the stops they took us to was this big market. And it was a wonderful place to visit. It had a gorgeous tea house there. It's very famous. I can't remember the name of it now. But we had, I think, something like an hour and a half or 2 hours there. Not nearly enough time. We really needed probably 3.5 hours there to be able to go have tea in the tea house, go in all the different shops, maybe sit down and relax and just people watch. But we had like, I think it was an hour and a half. We had to be right back to this one area. And I mean, it wasn't that easy to find. And for Westerners, you can't read, you know, the Chinese language. There's definitely in China, there are not that many people that speak English. Lo and behold, one person didn't make it back and they left. They'd waited 2 minutes and left. I couldn't believe it. So things like this do happen. Things like this do happen. So that was always, you know, these average tour guides that I would run into from time to time. I didn't like that either. You know, I felt like, you know, this. So moving on. Then the touristy feel of the tours. It was just a little too canned, a little too groups with the flags and all of this kind of stuff for somebody like, you know, me. I'd rather do less and do quality things and have conversations and you know, try to get in the flow of the place that I'm in. But you know, I just found that I didn't get it to do that enough, okay? And then also last, I guess you'd say, the groups were just too big. And, you know, you have people who are cliques, and then you've got people who are kind of problem travelers, and you got all these personalities and people, diverse people, And it just doesn't make for a cohesive group, especially if you're a solo traveler.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is if you're a solo, that what more way to make you feel like a sore thumb?
I mean, I usually ended up being friends with the tour guide or the one that was, the director of the group or whatever. So, you know, with all of that, I enjoyed the tours because I love travel, but I really didn't love them. So I just really found myself wanting much more than the canned tourist approach. So I'd say probably about 5 years ago, just when I was developing Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, I ran into this website called the Serendipity Traveler. And this was a blog as well as a website that offered trips for small groups of women, and they were in the luxury travel space, and they focused on cultural enrichment. And I said, this is what I like. And there were no single supplements. So and some of the tours, they had one to the Chelsea Flower Show, another one was they had one to London, a long kind of getaway weekend for London Theater. They had a safari one. I just really liked the itineraries and the focus of the trips, and I thought it was created by a woman, Peggy Kuglin or something like that. But she just seemed like my kind of woman, and I really did like her approach. So I thought, if I ever do anything like this, this is what I would like to do. So I have to say, my original inspirational idea about the kind of travel that I really want to do and it would ever offer would be like similar to what Serendipity Traveler was doing. Okay, now let's fast forward, because I mean, you know, this evolution didn't just happen overnight. Then, you know, as my website took off and I had, you know, a lot more readership, and now I have the Solo Travel Talk podcast, and I'm doing social media, and I've been written up in stories and everything. I really am getting a following. And so I started having a lot of people say, oh, Astrid, I want to go with you on the kind of trips that you're doing. I see it on social media, or I've read about it or whatever. And, or, you know, would you create trips for me? And so I said, oh, well, you know, and I was listening, and I said, thank you. And, you know, that's the way I like to travel. And then I had the Arts Council in my city come to me, and the director, who I'm very good friends with, she said, Astrid, I want you to help us do a couple of trips for the Arts Council and help us launch what's called Art Routes, of which, you know, some of the larger donors in my city would go and travel to other cities and delve into their cultures and what they're doing for cultural development in the art scene and, you know, enjoy the place as well as bring back some ideas. So I did it, and I took, I've done two trips for them, one to St. Petersburg, Russia, which we focused on ballet, because the executive director was a former ballerina. So, oh my God, going to St. Petersburg and the Vaganova Ballet Academy, and oh, we did all kinds of ballet stuff. I mean, she was just like, I mean, it was an experience I don't think she can ever really top it, because it's just right in where her passion is. And then we also did a trip to San Miguel, where we focused on the Mesoamerican culture there and, you know, the spiritual aspect of it and how San Miguel became such an artist colony. I mean, that's kind of how it developed it in the late 50s. After it was originally, it was because it had silver deposits there. But so, you know, that was also a very successful trip, and everybody liked how I kind of put it all together and the flow and the itinerary and the rhythm, etc. So then I ended up deciding that I wanted to go to Paris, and I had two friends, and I was talking to them about, you know, going to the Dior exhibit the 75 years of the evolution of Dior fashion, starting with Christian Dior at the Louvre. And then I wanted to go to Paris and kind of up my game, I guess you'd say, with my look and do women things, you know, because we were all like, you know, approaching 70 or over 70, and we just kind of needed a little inspiration to, you know, kind of redo your whole, I guess you'd say, joie de vivre, etc. So I ended up putting up this trip together for these two very good friends of mine that we focused on fashion and doing women things. So they had such a good time on that. So I thought, well, yeah. And then the last thing that kind of pushed me over is I had another good friend of mine who I had known from college, and she and I had been in investment clubs and book clubs, and, you know, I like clubs. I mean, you know, I'm from the South. We just do clubs down here. So she called me up. She said, and she loves to travel. She's a CPA, and she's traveled all over the world. She said, Astrid, I have this group of women. We want to go to Mexico City and San Miguel, but some of them are scared, and we have some questions about what we want to do, and we want your advice. And she said, we'll pay you. And I said, no, Joellen, I'll be happy to do it. So I met them for lunch, and we were together for about an hour and a half, and I answered all their questions, and they all ended up going. And I know she told me they had a great time, but she said at the end, she said, Astrid, what you need to do is a travel club. Mm. And that was my aha moment, my Oprah moment. You know, I really had to say that, you know, people, I realized that people wanted the type of travel experience that I was sharing digitally. But I knew I didn't want to be a tour guide or a travel agent. I mean, I created this digital website, now this podcast, to really use technology for people to benefit from, you know, some of my expertise, and for them to share back with others. And this is a passion of mine. You know, I didn't go in it to, you know, be a tour agent or, you know, whatever. So, but, you know, because they kept coming to me, I just felt, you know, I felt God was telling me something. So my wheels started turning. And my fabulous assistant, the incomparable Madeline, and I took about 6 months to really think about what we wanted to create. We did a lot of research on what clubs are already out there and what their format is, et cetera, to create the mission and the concept and the benefits of joining this club. And we knew we wanted to be in the affordable luxury space. That's it. I mean, you know, that's my expertise, is really how to create authentic, memorable, fun trips that have substance to them, that are luxury in nature, but that are not, they're not going to break the bank, okay? So that's, Madeline always says, they don't break the bank. But, so, this is what we did. We took 6 months to come up with it. So I'm going to read a little bit to you from my brochure, and really, to know everything about it, you need to go to my website, astridtravel.com, and just click on the tab, the Astrid Travel Club, and you'll see everything about it. But, you know, what is the Astrid Travel Club? The Astrid Travel Club is a group of individuals who share a love of thought-provoking travel that is luxury in nature, yet affordably priced. The ATC offers members a chance to meet like-minded individuals, share ideas, and learn from one another, both online through a digital forum and offline through our one-of-a-kind trips around the world. So we created this club that has a digital footprint. We have this forum, much like TripAdvisor, but you cannot belong to the forum unless you belong to the club. And this is where we will do our meetings, our club meetings, or I'll have, say, a speaker come and talk about, say, you know, the wine country in South Africa, or we're getting ready to do a wine tour and we might have an expert, as well as it's a forum for our members to ask questions of other members. You know, did you like doing this when you went to Iceland, or should I, what's the best restaurant, or, you know, give me your feedback. So we've created this platform that our members can have conversations with that are for solo travelers that really don't want to go totally solo alone. I mean, I should have said this. I forgot that part. I mean, really, the trip, the club is created, and you don't have to be, you know, you can bring friends with you. But my point is, and you can even bring your husband, you know, because it's not all women or not all men, or some trips are more geared towards mixed and some are more geared towards women. It depends on the theme of the trip. Okay. But, you know, we have the forum, and then also we have the trip. So basically you join the club to be around like-minded people who you can converse with, travel with, and hopefully, really enrich your life with. So that's just the broad concept. Now, the cost. We talked about the cost. I mean, Madeline didn't know whether we should do it or whatever, and I said, no, we have to have a cost because we want serious people who want to become members. We just don't want, you know, people saying yes and then really not participating.
A little skin in the game.
Yeah, just a little. But you get some lanyap when you join, because we're from Louisiana and we always give lanyap. It's kind of in our psyche. But it's $50 a year. And here are the benefits. Basically, number one, if you go on one of our trip, for one trip every year that you're a member, that you go on, you get a $100 discount. So basically, you know, the cost of the club is absorbed in the discount of the trip. And you get a little bit off of the cost of the trip itself. Okay, our trips. We offer certain trips on certain dates. And these trips are, they're on certain dates, but they also can be executed at a different date if you put together a small group, as well as we will do it if you're just a solo traveler. Now, depending on the time that you travel, and if you do it pure solo, the cost does go up because, you know, when we have a certain amount, then we can factor certain guides in and everything and draw it. It reduces the individual cost. But the trips that we create are basically our products that we offer only our members. You have to join to go on our trips. But if you can't go on the designated date, there are other alternatives, okay? Then I talked about the online discussion group. So that's something that is very different, you know, and it's tech cool. Madeline is young. I'm not. So we're creating the club to be cool for all ages, basically. Okay. And then you also get a custom travel journal. We are really big about mindful travel. And we send you a beautiful journal with our logo on it. And in it, we have kind of our philosophy about mindful travel and how you can really experience a trip that really will change your life. Along with the information we talk about mindful travel, we have 10 questions that we have in there to ask yourself before, during, and maybe after the trip that will help you get ready to experience where you're going and kind of prime the pump a little bit. So that's another little benefit. But the journal, I love to journal. I journal things that I experience. I journal important information. I like journaling. I mean, journaling, especially when I'm solo, it gives me a lot of I have a lot of pleasure from it. And then I go back and read them. And I remember so many things that I wouldn't remember if I wouldn't have written it down right then. That's another benefit. Then the trips themselves. All Astrid Travel Club trips are designed for small groups, 6 to 10 travelers. They're luxury in nature, yet affordably priced. So they range anywhere from $2,500 to $5,950 per trip. That's no single supplement. So usually it comes out to be anywhere, depending on the length of the trip, between $500 and $850 a day. And that's kind of the luxury space where it should cost. All trips include private luxury accommodations for every traveler. So you get your own room. And I'm really stickly about wonderful hotels. So you're not going to be in a Ritz-Carlton or a Four Seasons that are kind of the same. You're going to be in some place that has some kind of very special quality to it that will be your home away from home, and it'll be part of what makes the trip so wonderful. Also, fine dining experiences, expert guides. I'm big on expert guides, guides that, you know, have PhDs or have some kind of real expertise. I do a lot of due diligence in finding the guides that we end up employing. VIP services and an Astrid Travel Club representative on site and more. Madeline goes with all the groups.
Who's Madeline?
Oh, wow. Madeline. She's a future Astrid. That's who she is. Okay. And then last, each theme-based trip itinerary is tailored to include experiences that are thought-provoking and culturally enriching. So that really, that kind of sums it up. I don't like the canned approach. I want something that I learn from, but still a lot of fun, and that I'll be able to be around people that I can have good discussions with. And then when I don't want to be around them, I can go by myself and, maybe sit in a cafe or do something. So I try to be sensitive into every type of thing that a person desires on their trips, you know. Some of the things are awe-inspiring. Some of the things are meant for you to savor and that kind of thing. And have a good flow, not too much every day. They're one-city trips. No packing and unpacking. It's just one city. They're usually a week long, maybe a little bit longer, or it might be a long getaway, so it's right 4.5, 5 days. I have found that to be the best. And then to take some side trips out that give you some diversity for the place. So our 2020 trips, the first one is in Cartagena in this March, coming right up. Then we have a fabulous trip to Paris in April. We go to London in May, Iceland in July, St. Petersburg in September, and we're also going to put a 3.5-day supplement to Moscow on that if you want to take that. Dublin in November and Marrakesh in December. So those are our scheduled trips for 2020.
Wow.
Yes. And what our 3 to 4 year plan is we want to build out basically 20 cities that we have some theme-based focus, that we create a very special trip to that city. Like Paris will be a fashion-focused trip. It'll be on French fashion, fine dining, and fine art. So, you know, it's really, and we'll do some of the things that I did with Sharon and Grace Ellen with making the perfume. And this one, we'll actually have dinner with a young French fashion designer, and then we'll have a lecture in one of our times on, you know, fashion trends and really how to dress appropriate anywhere at any age. And take a walking tour, kind of tracing Coco Chanel's footsteps, and a lot of things that, you know, women It's a woman-oriented kind of thing. But I have done all of the things that we're offering, and every one of them, it just makes you feel good to be a woman, and especially in Paris. Paris is fabulous. That's all I can say. Maybe my next life I'll be a Parisian. You know, that's a little bit about the trip. So, Catherine, really, in a nutshell, how this whole thing came about is people asked for it, and I thought about it, and that's how the Astrid Travel Club was born. And, you know, we've already had one successful trip to Marrakesh, so we're, and I know we're going to do a podcast on that in a couple of weeks, but we're really excited because this kind of takes, I've tried to create or have the best of everything that you can have with travel and how you should do it in a group setting if you're a solo traveler and you don't want to go totally solo by yourself.
Right.
You know, so that's the answer to your question.
Very good. Well, and also I think that we, as I said in the very, very beginning, that everything has the Astrid flair. So I think that anybody who's listened to Solo Travel Talk will know exactly what I mean. And that is something you can expect from the trips of the Astrid Travel Club.
Yes. So go to my website, AstridTravel.com, and you know, look in the header and look at the Astrid Travel Club. It'll drop down, tell you all about how to join it, what it's all about, and then all the trips.
And I'll put the link in the show notes so you can click right over. We mentioned her name a couple of times in this episode, and Madeline and I actually got to talk, and we even joked about what is her role in the Astrid Travel Empire. So that's how we start off our interview. And listeners, take a listen here as I get to talk to Madeline. We are speaking with Madeline Ferret. Madeline, we have to settle something right off the bat. What is your role with the Astrid Travel Club? Because I was going to say, we're talking to the marvelous Madeline, but what is your title? Tell us all about that.
Okay. Yeah, like I mentioned to you earlier, we're still kind of working on an exact title for me, but I can just kind of give you a little bit of a backstory. So I've been working with Astrid for the past year. First helping her with the Astrid Solo Travel Advisor website and doing branding and marketing. And now my job has kind of evolved into a multitude of things. I still help with content and digital marketing for both Astrid Solo Travel Advisor and now for the Astrid Travel Club. So I'm also the coordinator behind the scenes, handling all of the logistics of planning all of our Astrid Travel Club trips and making sure that everything runs smoothly during the trip.
I see. I'm leaning towards the title of mastermind. That might be a good. Maybe that would be a good title for you.
I like that. Yeah, I'm just going to start telling that to people when they ask me, so what it is you do? Oh, I am a mastermind. Yeah,
I like it. We'll pitch it to Astrid later. I'll back you up on that one. That's great. Well, so we've already, the Astrid Travel Club, all of the podcast listeners have really been hearing a lot about the Astrid Travel Club. And we actually had the first Astrid Travel Club trip, and it was very successful. And you got to go. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it was amazing. Our first trip was to Marrakesh, Morocco. And I accompanied one of our Astrid Travel Club members, Graciela Simmons, on this trip. And first of all, I must say that not only is Graciela just an ideal Astrid Travel Club member because she's fun and intelligent and inquisitive, open-minded, and just passionate about experiencing and understanding other cultures, but she's also a really great travel companion, and she was a really great person to have be, I don't want to say the guinea pig, but the first person to go on an Astrid Travel Club trip because she is so easygoing and up for an adventure. And it was, you know, a little bit of a learning curve for us. It was my first time being a trip facilitator, as I would call it, and just making sure that everything goes as planned and that basically my role is to figure out how I can make our traveler's experience as seamless and smooth as possible. So none of our travelers really need me there as a chaperone. I'm just a facilitator, and I'm also not the tour guide. So I'm just the one that's organizing getting from point A to point B, which is often the most tedious and laborious part of travel. So I'm the one that says, okay, dinner reservations are at 6, meet me here and I'll get us there.
That really is an interesting differentiation, the idea of a facilitator. It sort of sets your travelers up to be able to be a part of a group, but then also be a little bit in charge of their own adventure.
Yeah, definitely. But I think Marrakesh was also just a really great place to have our first trip, which might seem unexpected because I think it's just a travel destination that a lot of us don't really think about all that often. At least maybe in the United States, I haven't talked to a lot of people that have been to Morocco. I think it seems just a little daunting. It seems it's maybe a little intimidating, but I have to say that the Marrakesh trip was absolutely magical. It was amazing. And it's just a big part of that has a lot to do with the kinds of activities that Astrid picked out for us, but also just the fantastic people that we worked with over there. So we stayed at Dar Aniwen in Marrakesh, and regular Solo Travel Talk listeners will probably know that Astrid has a real talent for discovering the most incredible hotels.
It's her superpower. It is her superpower.
Yeah, it really is. And ones that are affordably priced. I really genuinely don't know how she does it. But I think one of her absolute best finds has got to be the Dar Aniwen in Marrakesh. The hotel it's actually a family home or mansion built by the current owner and his father in a traditional Moroccan riad. And a riad is a type of home normally found within the Medina, and that's the old walled city of Marrakesh. It features an inward-facing courtyard for added privacy in the crowded Medina, where the houses are kind of all like right next to each other. So this interior, like open-air courtyard, allows the women and children of the house to swim in a pool or sunbathe in peace. And the construction also keeps out noise. So when this type of home is found outside of the Medina, it's actually called a dar, hence Dar Aniwen. But at Dar Aniwen, the house is really just the beginning. It's furnished with these beautiful antiques, and the rooms are just magnificent. Like everything has all the floors have this very detailed tile work and luxury linens and a huge bathroom. Like I had this giant bathroom with a tub overlooking the gardens, and there's all these big like marble statues and beautiful detailed carved wooden doors. It's really just, it's exquisite. But it's also very warm and welcoming. So the one interesting aspect of this place is the owner is actually he has an aviary on the property. So he's very into birds and collecting birds, and so you can sit out on the terrace and have dinner or breakfast or lunch or whatever out by the pool, and you hear like all these exotic birds chirping in the background and the sounds of the fountains, and it's really just amazing. And the staff is on top of everything. It's almost like I don't know where they're hiding, but it's like they just know whenever you need them, like they are there to not wait on you hand and foot, but essentially they go above and beyond. And the concierge at this hotel, his name is Aziz, really has a lot to do with why I think our trip was so successful, because he really worked very closely with us and put us in contact with all of the guides that we needed throughout the trip and helped us plan a lot of the activities, because, you know, he's a local, he's done this, he knows who to call and what restaurants are the best in town and which ones you can kind of avoid. So he really helped us out a lot. So I mean, I would just say it was an amazing place. I would definitely recommend Dar Aniwen to anyone looking to go to Marrakesh.
Well, I know that Astrid really has done a great job of highlighting some places that might be overlooked, like Morocco, you mentioned, or visiting Marrakesh, and then to have just such a wonderful home base in where you were staying just sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it really was. They had a car that we didn't have to really worry about anything, and I felt very safe there, believe it or not. I know safety might be a big concern for people visiting Morocco, especially as a young American woman. I was unsure of what to expect, but I never felt unsafe, not once.
Well, I think that the safety concern, Madeline, is definitely on a lot of people's minds. So that's really, really reassuring. I'm wondering, because you've now actually, you're doing so much work behind the scenes and that now you've actually been on the trip, I'm wondering, from your perspective, how would you say the Astrid Travel Club is different from other types of travel? What are some of the things that make it really stand out?
I would say that the Astrid Travel Club trips are different because we are not focused solely on sightseeing. We really try and focus on depth. And a lot of Astrid's itineraries sort of center around a theme. So you can really kind of hone in on a certain aspect of a culture and dive into depth into that particular topic. Our goal is to provide travelers with an experience that actually sticks with them and opens their eyes to a different part of the world or teaches them something about themselves and has meaning. It's a tour in the sense that we do essentially the same thing as a lot of other tour companies, but we're also deeply interested in the impact that our trips have on our travelers' lives. Like perhaps one of our trips will inspire someone to adopt a new outlook on life or be kinder and more accepting of others and find connection with new friends. And I just think that we go a step further and we just try to go beyond sightseeing. It's just so much more than that. I think travel is so much more than that. We really try and focus on enriching experiences. Astrid has used the term cultural literacy before, and I know she doesn't totally love to use that term because it can sound kind of confusing, but we really do try and focus on activities that help you understand another culture and just develop an appreciation for a culture that is different from your own.
Who would you say the Astrid Travel Club is for? From your perspective, who is a great candidate to be a member of the club?
I would say that the Astrid Travel Club is really for anyone who loves to travel, yes, but also loves to travel in a particular kind of way, in a way that is thought-provoking and full of enriching experiences, as we said, is luxury in style, but is also reasonably priced. And I know this sounds like a very niche group, but I think you'd be surprised that there are a lot of people out there who are looking for something like this. They're looking for, you know, is not your big tour bus kind of deal. It's more intimate, I guess. You know, and you stay in nice hotels that have character and charm. They're not just your run-of-the-mill basic hotel. And it's for people who are interested in the affordable luxury brand, as Astrid has called it. An appreciation for this kind of travel really spans generations also. But our club, the Astrid Travel Club, is really geared towards an older demographic, I'd say. I know that I'm quite young, but for the most part, people who are in our club are in the middle to late stages of life, and they're established and financially secure, and they've really kind of refined their preferred travel style. Many of our members are either well into their careers or retired, but they all share an appreciation for authentic and unique travel experiences that don't come with an outrageous price tag.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that one of the things I admire about Astrid is she really has carved out the affordable luxury. I had never heard that term. And when I've described it to other people, I always get that look of acknowledgement, like, oh, Affordable luxury. Yes, I know. Now I know exactly what that is. Now I know what that, there's a name for the kind of the niche that, that they wanted to experience. So I think that's really, there's something about that.
I agree. I think she has sort of coined it, but it is, it makes sense.
It makes sense once, exactly. As soon as you hear it, it's like, oh, that recognition. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Hashtag affordable luxury. We'll put that on there. That's great. Oh, well, it sounds, that's going to be amazing. So how do listeners find out more about the Astro Travel Club?
They can definitely visit astrotravel.com/travel club. Just, you know, head to Astrid's website and look at the Travel Club section, and also follow us on social media and join the club. We like to share all of the latest happenings with our members first so that they have primary access to join all of our trips. And we also have the Astro Travel Club forum where we will share trip ideas and things we're maybe thinking of and ask for feedback, because you know we really do design these trips for our members. Like, we want, you know, our members to have the experiences that they want. So we ask for feedback, input, comments, suggestions.
Oh, I know that on Instagram, Astro Travel Club has its own Instagram handle. Is that for the same for other social media, or?
It does. Yes, we do. We now have our own Instagram and Facebook. It's the Astro Travel Club.
I will put that in show notes so people can easily click over there.
Yes, thank you. That would be great.
Madeline Ferret, thank you so much for being on Solo Travel Talk. I knew we would get you on the show at some point, and I'm so glad you were here to talk about the Astrid Travel Club.
Thank you so much for having me on, Catherine. It was really great. I'm glad I was able to come on and share a little bit about what I do, and I give a little personality, I guess, to the behind-the-scenes voice behind social media posts and stuff. So this is it.
Very good. And now we know your title, too. Until hopefully Astrid is down with us giving you that title.
Yes, mastermind.
That's right. Thank you, Madeline.
Thank you.
Madeline is great, Astrid.
Madeline is incomparable, like you said. She really is. I mean, she's another god thing that has come into the Astrid Solo Travel universe. Seriously, because I looked for a good assistant for a long time. We just knew it both. We just had a natural connection, and she's been with me now almost 2 years.
Yeah. And now all the listeners have gotten to meet her as well, so that's great.
Yes.
Well, we really hope that you are excited about the Astro Travel Club, and listeners, I will have the link in the show note. If this seems like the right opportunity for you, we would love to have you sign up. And of course, tell them that you heard it on the Solo Travel Talk podcast. Astrid, you're kicking off a whole new series for Solo Travel Talk, is starting right around the corner, about hassle-free travel.
Oh, yes. And because this is a big thing. I mean, I hear so many people say, Astrid, I love to go on trips, but it's becoming more and more of a hassle. I just don't know whether I really want to do it.
Yeah.
So we have kind of broken down into 7, I think, shows about different things that really do cause or can cause a lot of hassle.
We have the Astrid solution for all the travel hassle that you can handle.
Well, I try hard because I don't like hassle.
We don't like hassle, but we love you, our listeners, and we look forward to seeing you on Solo Travel Talk. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. We love Spotify. Your favorite podcast app will have Solo Travel Talk. We look forward to bringing you the hassle-free travel series, and we hope that you enjoyed this episode on the Astrid Travel Club. Thank you, Astrid.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Solo Travel Talk.